Hey, what's up, everybody? Can I kick it?
Yes, you
can. Welcome to the show. I can. Thank you. welcome to the show, Little Tribe Called Quest. For you, as we roll into LE2B, Tom McCaffrey and Eric B., please subscribe to this podcast and all that other stuff. The best podcast in the world.
Number three in
Slovenia.
Or is it Slovakia?
Slovenia.
Okay.
In Slovakia, where they never heard of me. I did a show in Slovakia last week and they were like, get out of here.
It's so funny.
Take that shit to Slovenia. So what's happening? A lot going on. Big thing this week, I don't know if I'm going to talk about they voted out Kevin McCarthy as speaker. That's the first time that's ever happened, right? Where the speaker's been voted out.
I like how now the Republicans are blaming the Democrats because the Democrats all voted for him to be thrown out, but they wouldn't have had that opportunity unless the Republicans brought it up and they had eight Republicans vote to throw him out. So like, it's all the Democrats' fault. I'm like, you fucking did this.
I mean, they literally are just like, I know people say it a lot. It's like hyperbolic, but like children. But that's like what a child would do. I feel like that's what I did when I was like 12, when things went wrong and it was completely my fault. I would get mad at my parents. I would blame it on them. I'd be like, I can't believe you guys did. Like, I remember one time I showed up. Like, there was something we had to do. I think we had to go, like, to the DMV or something. I had to get my learner's permit. And I met them there. And it closed. Like, you know, it was closed. And I remember I was like, ugh, why didn't you guys call before and find out? And they were just like... Oh God! Like that, you get to, but that's the attitude. Like it's just kind of
well. Someone wrote something interesting. Saying like because they're like, why the Democrats need to be the adults in the room because we always have to be the adults in the room. And they're like, someone was like, you know what? For the first time, fuck it, we're gonna act just like them. Because if it was the shoe was on the other foot, they would do the same exact thing. Why do we always have to be the responsible party? Screw them, you know?
But do you think that they really, because I was watching like Fox News and they were like, oh God, that just goes to show you can't trust a Democrat. But I'm like, do they really believe that? I guess they do. That's what, you know, the whole thing.
Well,
you know,
and
they get insulted if you say they're in a cult, but that's how a cult would act.
And it's scary because the replacement may be way worse. So that's the scary part, you know, whoever replaces him. But, you know, you go down McCarthy's resume and stuff he's done in the last year, like he was shitting on Trump right after the Capitol riot. And then, like, I think several hours later, he was like, oh, it was all cool or something like that. He's defended Trump every turn.
First of all, I don't know why were the Democrats supposed to vote for it? He's opened an impeachment to the president based on nothing, like literally nothing, where people in their own caucus are basically saying, there's no evidence.
No, and that, yeah, in the trial or whatever, the hearings, everyone's like, we don't have anything.
So yeah. Basically, and then, he supported the insurrection. He helped, you know, he sided with Trump on that. I guess you're right, for like one day he didn't. When I looked like the tide was turning and that looked like the popular thing to do was be against someone trying to overthrow the government. And then, but he kind of resurrected Trump again, because Trump was like kind of down and out after that. And he kind of single-handedly went to Mar-a-Lago. And why did he do that? Why do you think he just because he knew that was the move to.
Yeah. And not only that, California is a very liberal state, but his district is insanely conservative. It's super Trumpy. Speaker. He probably, if he shit on Trump, he wouldn't have won his election.
I know he's from Bakersfield in California.
Yeah.
Which for the record is, I have a friend who grew up in California and he said Bakersfield literally is the worst part of California. It's just notorious for being the worst part of California.
We have actually a guest I want to let in here, but we'll.
Okay, so we'll continue this.
We'll keep talking until he kicks in. Bakersfield's bad, though, huh? Oh, there he is.
That's what I've heard.
Hello.
Hey there man. He is.
What's up? What's up, gang?
We got a big star on a show today.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. So we have a guest that just joined us. He's a hilarious comedian. He's been on America's Got Talent. He was on the show Inventing Anna on Netflix. Sure. And also...
I love when the credits are in a question mark. That's how you know they really respect you.
Well, I didn't know if it was on... No, I know the show. I don't know if it was on Netflix or FX because there's literally 900 things that it can be on now. And also, you were on, and just like he was on it, just like that. Usama Siddiqui. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you did. What's up?
All right, cool.
That was actually incredible. That was actually the best way anyone's ever pronounced it, ever, to be honest.
Wow, jeez. even better than you. All right.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy because in Bengali, it's like Siddiqui, but I can't do that in real life. That makes no sense, you know? So it's like Siddiqui became how my dad pronounces it. So now I guess that's the actual pronunciation. So I have no patience ever. Like, people are always like fucking shit up and people get angry for no reason. Like, it's actually not. It's the pronunciations change regardless of it in its own culture too. So when people
you get asked this a lot, but so when you, especially when you started comedy, I mean, when people brought you up, I mean, what were some of the iterations they said? I can't even imagine.
I've gotten Mohammed, you know, I've gotten like literally every time. I used to be in the Dallas. I was a Dallas comic. And so when I started doing road gigs, it was all like podunk Dallas towns. We're talking like fucking like El Paso, Laredo. I'm doing like horrific. I'm terrible at comedy. For so like, don't garner any respect yet. I'm in some shit Texas town. They don't know what's going on. They haven't seen a brown guy ever. They see a guy coming out of the coal mine. He's like bark. That's what they see. That's the race when they see someone coming out of a coal mine. And I've gotten like Usama Sudoku. I've one guy on stage legit was like Usama suck a dicky. I mean, dude, it's.
You grew up in Dallas. Did you grow up in Plano?
I did. How do you fucking know that?
I went to SM.
You did, bro. That's insane, really.
Yeah. So I know I have a lot of my mom is from Dallas and I have a lot of family in Dallas. I'm actually going there in like a couple weeks. So I go there all the time. And I knew a lot of people from Plano when I went to college.
That's
there.
Amazing, dude. I used to go there all the time. I had a girl I used to like there. So I would go there to woo her, and I didn't succeed.
Was it was it Kourtney Kardashian?
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh,
did you? Yeah. She went to SMU, Kourtney Kardashian.
That's so weird. Like she stayed before she graduated high school.
No, that's how hot she is. They were just like, just get in here. That's how hot and rich she is. But yeah, she went there way after me. I think she went there like 8 years after me. But I think, you know, when I was there, it was really wealthy. But I think now it's just like ridiculous. When you go there, it's just insane. Like the amount of money people have.
It's a private university. It's the biggest private university in Dallas. And Dallas has mad money. Like Dallas is, I think I don't know how many Fortune 500 are there, but the money is huge in Dallas. There's people, I mean, it's a spread out. So people don't realize it as a center. So yeah. You got people with real, real cash, SMU, and it looks beautiful. Like it's Dallas, not a beautiful place, but yeah. SMU is gorgeous. Like you go into SMU, and the fucking thing is.
Well, I got a Dallas question because this was just in the news. Yeah. I thought that city was like liberal or more progressive, but they said that the mayor was a Democrat. He just changed parties. He's just like I'm a Republican now. You heard about that?
Yeah. The city itself maybe votes blue at the city, but I don't think the county votes blue, man. I think Dallas, I mean, the area is pretty, I mean, Texas is pretty red. I don't know, though. I'm talking about on my ass now. I'm not sure. Maybe Dallas is more blue than I thought.
Someone said that to me the other day, too. And I think it might be shifting a little bit because it's becoming a place where people are moving to. Just people.
Yeah.
You know,
from
so
the
I don't
coast.
Know. So I don't know what it, but I mean, when I was there, it was not, I mean, it, I mean, I went to SMU, like I graduated in 96. So like,
yeah,
it was super red. Jesus. And I mean, I think it might not be as bad as it was, but I'm curious. So what was it? I know there's an area and I guess it's in Plano where
Willow Bend.
There's a what?
Is it Willow Bend?
I don't know, but where you grew up, there is like a big Indian population, right?
Oh, yeah, huge, huge. So Texas was like, is like a shit, school systems everywhere, but Plano was oasis in the rough, where it was like the high school I went to had the most AP classes on earth. And I'm not, it's a chicken or egg. Is it the Indians caused the AP or did the AP cause the Indians? We don't know. Like what caused what? Who knows? But it was hugely competitive. I remember one time, it was like old school shit too. I don't know if y'all had this, where like they would rank your GPA and like put it on a fucking board. And then you get to see where you rank in your class.
No, we did not have that.
First of all, horrific to do to kids in high school. insane, right? Like literally this is your rank in school. I hope they stop that. But my GPA was 7, rank 7 when I first started. And then I remember getting like death threats from East Asian guys. Like, what's his fucking name? Paul Ying was like, bro, I'll fucking kill you, dude. He was like, what? Rank.
That's
this crazy school, man.
That's like, a rough school in a weird dude, way.
Yeah, a rough school but the opposite end of it. Like these Chinese guys are gonna beat the triads. We're gonna beat your ass.
Oh, so what was he ranked?
He was like, I think ranked 11 or 12. Or something. He was like angry. I didn't say I'll kill you, but he was like very angry. I found out later he was like really angry because he thought I was dumb or something, and he was like, "Who the fuck is Osama getting ranked 7?"
And that guy, and that guy's not running for president, right?
Yeah. His name was Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah,
I was going to say. I think you did this in a joke, or I remember this. You were supposed to be a doctor, right? Or
I was. Yeah. Okay.
Which in an Indian family, that's the gold standard, right?
Yeah, I'm actually a Bengali family, but same values, bro. Yeah. And people say like, "Are you Indian Bengali?" Okay, nationalistically, Bangladeshi and Indian. There's the state wise, you'd be like Nebraskan and Arkansas, but ethnically, full Bengali. Like the ethnic group Bengal got sliced in half when the British left. So when I get flack all the time from Bengalis being like, "You actually don't say you're Indian or whatever." you're not wrong if you said that, Eric, but it's like whatever.
I'm a white guy. I don't know the difference. I actually thought you were Mexican just till now. So,
well, yeah, that is funny because, like, I'm Irish and Scottish, I guess.
Yeah, that's not anything cool or exotic. Just to let you know.
Like, and don't worry, Bengali's gonna be lame in like 20 years. Like, Irish was cool in the 20s. Like that was like, whoa, Irish.
Yeah,
and that got deleted as fuck, and now nobody gives a fuck. So,
but I mean, if someone, I just think I'm white. I mean, I have no clue what
you
I
are.
Just, I'm like, yeah,
yeah, and you are, buddy, and you're so white, you don't even have a last name. Like, you're just a singular Tom on your display name.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
The whitest name. I just want to get into the thing about that.
You were on track to be a doctor.
Yes.
And obviously, when your parents found out your real goals, I assume they were not thrilled.
No, they loved it. They were like, "Are you gay too? That'd be amazing. Please be also gay, you fucking loser." You know, it was the worst. It was the worst. I kept it from them. I lied to them. Here's the timeline. I graduated college in 2013. I got into med school, Texas A&M, and that end of that year. There's a thing you can do called deferment, where if you have if your mom or dad or whatever have some sort of medical issue, you can like prove it. And then basically get a year off, and then they have your spot ready for you. It's called deferment. And so I was doing 1 year into comedy at that point, and I really didn't know if I had it in me or if I was good or anything. And I was like, I need to check for one more year if I can do this and really give it my all in Dallas. Because I was doing like once a month in Dallas, but now I was like, can I do this? And I didn't want to lose my med school spot. So I was like, let me just defer for a year.
Okay.
But to get a deferment, it has to be real. It has to be a doctor's note and everything. So my mom went in for like a routine foot checkup, like just something. She had like one little, she had a limp or something. It was totally fine. And I got the doctor to write a note about it. And I blew up that story like she was like she had polio or something. And I sent it over. I sent the note, everything. And they texted back like, or messaged back. Oh, of course. The email. Oh, take 1 year. We're happy to have you in the 2015 season. I was like, fuck yeah. Totally lied through my ass to get that through.
And then that year I worked at Jimmy John's getting money and accruing money. So I have money for like New York if I wanted to go. Halfway through that year, my mom found this fucking letter of like, oh, your mom's, you know, has no feet left or something. She was like, what the fuck is this? And she, it's the last time she ever woke me. It was at 23 years old. And it was like this Ragnarok style, like, what the fuck are you doing, you piece of shit? And I was like, no, and I somehow got out of that. But that was something I had to do to get the deferment. The year ended. I accrued enough money. I just bounced to New York at 23. So I was 22 during that deferment year. 23, I came to New York June 6th, 2014.
When
I came
to New York. When you moved, what were they like? Oh, great, cool. Or were they like, what the fuck?
No, it was very bad in the beginning. Because I revealed to them I was leaving to New York. Like the 2 days before, it was bad. I was not smart about it because they thought I was going to go to med school. They were just ready to go. And then I just was 2 days before. I was like, by the way, I'm not. And then my dad had like the fucking single dad tier. My mom started throwing like all this fucking like pots and pans. Bro, it was bad.
You were like, I'm not going to med school, but the good news is I'm hilarious.
Yeah, you know all those times you didn't understand anything I was saying, mom, in English? Yeah, I'm going to do that professionally.
All right, so I got two questions. One is, I think they're cool with it now, right?
Yeah. I got a couple of credits, and once you get those things, because their parents, like their friends, started coming back with my shit, and that's when it all gets copacetic. Because when you're, because the Bengali culture, Indian Desi culture is very like, what will they say, right? So when they start saying shit like AGT, I saw him, all of a sudden, immediately everything gets fucking kind of steamrolled into good vibes, and now.
So that must have been huge for you. You know, did you ever? Yeah, Another thing, did you early on ever have self-doubts and like, why did I should have been a doctor?
No, never.
Oh, that's good.
I want to say one thing is that I feel like a lot of comics come up before like Brown or like East Asian, like, fuck my parents. Not fuck my parents. I love my parents. They were just fucking looking back and realized they were doing what they knew to be, good for you. It's all love. I was a blinder kid, bro. When I came into New York, I was like, let me just do 20, I would need to 4 mics a day, fucking fuck off. I'll be poor as fuck. I don't give a fuck, living in squalor. But I was like blinders, bro. I wasn't thinking about anything. Now looking back, you climb the wall, you look down, you're like, oh fuck, I was high. That's what happened to me. So like 25, I was like, oh shit, what have I been doing? Like, I wasn't even thinking about what I was doing. And if I had, I probably wouldn't have even done it, man.
Do you think?
I don't know how y'all.
Well, I obviously, I mean, this is probably, I probably know the answer, but. Because of that, because of your parents wanted to go to med school and they weren't happy with what you were doing. Like, did that give you a drive? I mean, did you work so hard because it was basically like, I have to do this now?
I was like, if I am gonna give up med school, let me put the same amount of work ethic I would have put to med school into this thing. So that's something I made. I did shrooms the day before I left to really see if I was ready. I remember doing shrooms as an ex. And like in the trip, I was like, yeah, I can do this. Also, we're through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two epiphanies in one. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God.
That's good. If you're not sure if you can do comedy, you guys out there, just do shrooms and then that'll
But see, he's having this epiphany. I did shrooms once and I peed myself. So he's having some metaphysical catharsis or whatever. And I'm fucking wet in my pants.
Yeah. I had the same thing. I got really high and I was like, I can do this because everything I said was fucking hilarious.
For somebody to shrooms, I took a shit in my friend's house and everyone stopped being on shrooms. It was like such a bad shit that it just sobered everyone up.
Wow.
People left the spirit realm. It was so disgusting.
When were you like, oh, I want to do comedy? Obviously, you were in Dallas, but like, what started it?
I was a shy kid, man. I was a very shy kid.
True of most comedians.
Right. I think the people who are like class clowns become hacks. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't really have the moment outside of society where they look in and they start figuring things out and learning shit.
I think it comes from something like you want the attention and you don't feel heard at all. I think that's why stand-up is different from like a lot of art forms. I think it's very like, it's not like, oh, I want to, it's not just you want attention. It's like, I have something that needs to be said that no one's listening to. So I don't know if you had that experience.
It's a weird thing of like, we don't think we deserve it, but we want it. And so there's this thing of like, jokes is like a way of us being like, well, I'm giving the work in to earn your attention. And it feels good to us, you know, like, okay, it's like a give and get. I'm getting the attention and you're also getting a value. Anyway.
And did you feel like unseen, maybe like when you were growing up?
Yeah,
there?
Bro, I was a weirdo, bro.
Do you think growing up in Dallas of all places like, contributed to that? Because I know I felt out of place in Dallas.
Dude, Dallas back, we're talking circa, we're talking fucking, you know, 9/11 times, but even just like that era where it wasn't cool to be a race. Like if you were like Asian, don't say that shit. You know, you don't be it. You know what I'm saying? We all did racist shit. We were racist to other races. Everyone's saying the N-word. No one is racially good at this time, right? So, yeah, it was like, no, and the value was very low. Like, we were brown kids. Like, no girls trying to fuck us. No girls trying to be with us. No girls. And I was also ugly. Like, I was just on an overall level, not cute.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. I'll bulk cut it out. If I showed you a picture, you wouldn't be like, you're ugly. But I was like skinny as fuck. I was all neck. I was, and I had a shitty energy. I was like all scared. It was like very prime, like shit on this guy. Fodder. have you ever played? You ever played the game MASH? You know what I'm talking about, where girls would like get they would like roll a dice or whatever and get like how many kids you'd have, who you're gonna marry, and whatever this is. It's a game that you used to play, and you'd get like who's your husband from this class. One time I was playing, I was just doing math and algebra in algebra class in seventh grade. And then I was just crying from Kavita Selvin. She's crying her eyes out in the back during class while she's teaching. Teacher's like, what's going on? Kavita's crying, tears. And she's like, I got Usama as my husband in MASH. And everyone was like, oh, no. And the class ended. Even the teacher was like, we got to get out of here. Class was dismissed. That was rough.
What year was that?
This is seventh grade. No,
I was like, it happened last month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you found that chick on social media and been like, hey.
I only wish it the worst. Yeah. I guess the idea is to fuck now, right? Like to
or just say who's mad. I'm on AGT. Who's mashing now, bitch? Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. Isn't that the whole point of all this? Is just to get back at all those. And I'm like, I'm like half kidding. Like I feel like it's moments like that kind of spark the flame for people to go in entertainment.
It's the race against time because you want to get big before they're all ugly, you know? So it's like, how do I, because she's aging quick. I already see the first kid. How do I get big before it's gone?
Or you want to get big when they get ugly so that you're like, hey.
Yeah, okay, I think that's the better way to go. You wait that one out, man. Wait till she has three kids. Now.
Comics who love their job usually age better. If we're doing something we love. So I do feel like comics age nicely if they're healthy and they because the whole life is like something they enjoy, I guess.
Have you had that where any of these people have like reached out to you, like maybe the ones that were mean and then are like, hey man, what's up?
I fucked one. No, she wasn't mean, but she was unattainable AF in college. And I remember I would just be for years be like, this woman is hot. She'd be on my IG feed. I'm like, this woman is so unattainable, so hot. Then I got AGT and she messaged me. She's like, I saw you on AGT. Oh my God. And then it was during COVID time. I think I went back to Dallas and then we fucked. And I remember while fucking being like, this is crazy. Like, this is probably the craziest thing I've ever done in my life.
That's a great comedy story.
That's actually a great, that's a great story. In so many ways. I remember I had sex with a girl. Man. I had sex with a girl once. And I remember I had that where I was like the whole time I just was like, I can't believe I'm having sex with her. Like,
dude, you're not having sex with her. You're having sex with your 12-year-old self. You know, you're like, you're really banging. You're like, dude, this is crazy. Crazy.
But I saw some of these things because when you're in high school or something, sometimes you look at some girls and you're in high school, you're like, that girl's so hot, she's unattainable. And I remember recently I found my old high school yearbook and I'm looking at all the girls in the yearbook that I thought were hot. I'm like, this girl wasn't that hot.
Mid at best. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, you're just at that point, your hormones are going, you think that's the hottest girl in the world or something. I don't know.
It's so weird.
This is a random question. I just want to, there was a thing in Plano, I remember it was big in the news, it was around that late 90s, where there were kids in Plano. A lot of them were ODing on heroin. There was like a heroin problem.
Yeah.
When that was happening.
This was, so I came in, when I came in Texas, 2001. I came at.
Oh, good.
Yeah, 2000. And so I remember being fifth grade and it was coming out of it, but it was West Plano, I think. So I think West Plano had a lot of money and they were just using it on drugs. They called West Plano Senior High School the pharmacy because it was just like a drug den. So maybe it was that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess that it was like 98 is when I heard about it because it was like in the news and I was like.
And also like Vince or Matthew Perry was a big Dallas guy where he was going to Deep Ellum and getting sloshed and fucking on, you know, on heroin and coke, whatever the fuck he was on. It was
wow.
He might even popularized it, Matthew Perry. I remember I had older friends in Dallas who were like, yeah, we all knew Matthew Perry was like our guy. He'd come in and he'd just like do three lines and hang out with us and fucking pass out on the bar. I'm like, this is, I guess, a Dallas time when Deep Ellum was like really musically inclined and fucking hot as fuck.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We were going there. Deep Ellum was this like artistic district in Dallas.
Yeah, but how come and a lot of people I know from Texas have no Texas accent? You sound like you're from New York, really.
Yeah, I sound like I'm from Jackson Heights, right? Dude, cities don't sound like that. If you go outside the city, that's where you fucking find the fucking folks. You know?
If you go an hour out of Manhattan, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. You don't find the folk until you go to Jersey or something, right?
Did you ever watch King of the Hill?
Yeah,
because a lot of people from that area said that show is very accurate. The characters, like, there's this character Boomhauer that I think Mike Judge did the voice, and you couldn't understand anything he said. And I talked to some people, and they're like, "Yeah, I know a guy like that. There's a guy like that in Texas."
So Hill Country, which is where LBJ is from, and all this shit, that's like some real poor shit. Maybe that's what they're talking about—the Hill Country people. That's where Texas gets its like fucking draw, and LBJ popularized it maybe because when he was president, he was like, "Yeah, the Texas draw." Cities don't have this as much. But I had some friends who were like, yeah, I'm like that. Definitely like the politics sometimes was like that. All my friends were fucking homophobic as fuck and fucking, I mean, it was like government, anti-government. Texas does have its own country vibe.
So it's
like,
I know them.
Those people, when you do meet people like that, because when I went back during COVID, open carry was a thing. You'd go to the Target. I mean, one person a minute, I had a fucking gun strapped. You have that if you go out, but in the city, you're going out to like a bar in the city, you're not gonna get that much of a fucking
when I was at SMU, I was that was one thing that surprised me. I remember there were a lot of people from Texas there, and they all just talked. I almost said normal, but like
then you'll meet some guy at the gas station, and he's like, fucking like, hey there, goddamn it, I can't like they're there, bro. They are there. And I used to flip camera lenses in college where I'd like take a camera lens and sell it for more money. And I'd get, you know, meet these guys on Craigslist and I'll just drive to this fucking, you know, Jason Aldean, whatever fuck, you know, song lyric town. Try that in a small town type area. I'm going to some guy's warehouse at 9 p.m., some scrawny brown kid. I'm like, this is terrifying. And then that guy was invariably like redneck McGee. And so I did meet those characters a lot when I was growing up.
Did you ever try to pitch this as like a sitcom? Because I think that's kind of funny, like an Indian guy in Texas. I don't know if that's ever.
Texas.
Big Golly, sorry.
It wasn't racially friendly. That could be like a really fun like time skip to go to, you know.
When you came here to New York, so what was that like when you first got? Like, what do you do when you get here? Like, finding like wherever you can get up or?
Yeah. I was very, I hit the ground running, man. I was like, let me just, I did bad slava. I was bad slaving. I was like 4 mics a day, regardless. I was hitting 25 to 30 mics a week. I was like, I need to do at least 3 a day, 4 if I can snag it. And I was just going and I was going, I had money saved up, terrible with money, lost all my money in like 5 months. Started stealing food from like D'Agostino's and Fairways and shit. I was adamant to do as many spots as I could. My money and health be damned. I would like not eat for a whole day. And then I'd get one, you know, the halal cart that also does the bagel, get one of those like Arab bagels. Worst, man. And I would just like eat one bagel. And then I started getting, one day I woke up, I was dizzy for a whole month because I was so you know, not nutrition. And then I was just like such a comedy fiend. I wasn't thinking about anything else. When I say like, I wasn't scared of failing is because I wasn't even eating like that. I wasn't even like, you know, doing normal human shit. I was just like fucking comedy all the time. I was passing out the Grizzly Pear. I was like falling asleep. They waking me up for my last set. I was a goblin, bro.
What was it like? Did you feel like you were improving, or did you feel like you were finding your voice or whatever?
For me, I just got in my head. I was like, dude, I know I'm bad at this right now, and let me just bridge the gap between my bad and like, because I just knew what I believed in was just do as much as possible, show up, rewrite, find the pros and cons after each set. And I was just like, I love doing it. I was like, this is awesome. I wasn't thinking about it would hurt, because a lot of older comics were hating on me because I was a big act out guy without the writing at that point. I didn't have the, and back then, like, comics were really shitting on other comics. I mean, Eric knows back then, Mike Warren's era, people were brutal back then, man, way more. And if you were an act out guy with no writing, people just shit the fuck on you. They would just like attack you.
Well, were they you're trying to be like Dane Cook.
Whatever, bro, because there's a lot of anti Dane Cook shit on the market right now. It was very anti Dane Cook, be smart. But smart wasn't even the word. It was just don't be excited or something.
Yeah, and you gotta keep on trying, man.
Bro, whatever it was, bro, I got shit on all the time. They call me Johnny Act Out for the longest time. Great nickname to be aged.
But you know, it still goes on. I thought it was bad back then. I think it was probably worse back then. But
yeah,
I talked to some young comics. I go, what's going on in the alt scene with this stuff? They go, it's the same crap. They're like, oh, look at this guy. He's got jokes. He's doing jokes. Hack. Well, I'm sorry if I'm not meandering on stage for 7 hours telling what I did this morning. You know,
I do think it is weird how the act out thing became there was sort of like some comedians would consider someone who was like animated or acting on stage like it wasn't true comedy. But
yeah, it's called being entertaining.
It's also like, I mean, you know, Louis C.K. like kind of acts out.
Right. You're asking their favorite comics to be like, yeah, Louis, Bill. And you're like, you mean these guys who only do one liners, right? It's like, what are you talking about? They're like, the best comedy is the intersection of wild and thoughtful, right? It's like that's the sweet spot, right? The best comics are both, right?
Well, I think, you know who I really loved early on, and the more I watched him, I always thought he kind of wasn't doing much, but the more I watched him, he was doing a lot of act outs. It was Nick Swartzen. I don't know if Nick Swartzen totally is his, like, I feel like his funniest bits are him complete. He's great at acting. He's a really good actor. Like, so.
Dude, and you look back at his bits, they're hilarious. They're like, they would fit the alt test, the alt, you know.
They're clever.
Well, one bit about, like, he wants to, his biggest prank would be he wants to yell who farted and then shoot himself in the head. And then his friend who farted is going to ruin his life because he's like, and fuck, he killed himself because I farted. How is that?
They're
not like
how bad was that fart?
Idea.
I
saw Colin Quinn once, because when he started doing those theater shows, he was like, you know, I always was the guy who kind of just sat and said the jokes. And he's like, I realized, especially in these theater shows, I got to be a performer, you know, because that just doesn't fly. And he was saying, he's like the godfather of like, just do use your words. But he realized that he had to be a performer. Yeah. Dude, and I always say that to comics all the time when they come from like alt rooms. I'm like, the difference between club and alt rooms is, clubs, you can be smart, but you have to be a performer. You don't have to run around crazy, but you can't just lean against the wall and just dribble shit out, you know?
People think, a lot of people don't do this, always think that it's like you add performance, or it's like, oh, you bring it up to here. It's not that simple. It's like you feel the joke and it naturally brings you to a state. That's what performance is. It's not, let me add enter sound. People think people trying that are just adding decibels and they're bombing. It's like, no. It's not excitement or enthusiasm. It's engagement. And so you're engaged with your own bit to the point where it ignites you. And that naturally flows out. This concept of adding performance or like hamming it up is not real performance. Performance is inside. The fire comes out through your writing and then becomes this bit that people are dying at.
That's easy.
Were you doing that from the beginning, or was that something that developed?
It's, you know, when you're beginning, there's a lot more nervous energy than there is energy. They're two different things, right? Enthusiasm and that's nervous energy. That's not real energy. True energy is presence, right? The feeling of being completely in the bit and being completely in your energy, in your truth.
Yeah.
That requires a lack of fear and a self-knowledge. And that's what really takes a long time. That's why act outs are harder to kind of do, because you have to really not give a fuck. And the risk is higher and the rewards are higher, in my opinion, when you go that distance.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's so much riskier to like put a lot into something and then right. people not like it. It's so much better than it's much better to be like not really putting a lot into it. So if it doesn't go well, you're like, well, I didn't really even try.
Yeah, dude. People like to create like holograms of themselves. Like, oh, let me do an ironic character. So if I bomb, it's like this like dummy guy getting all the hits, and I can just be like almost satirical to my own self. It's like, oh, that was stupid, right? No one puts their neck out. No one puts their neck out. When you put your neck out, you get the real big, like the fucking, you know, black comic 90s laughs, you know, like like Cat is all time.
Yeah. Who is?
Cat Williams. And he's that intersection of smart and wild that I think is like so like one of the oh god, he just explodes the room, you know.
Yeah, but yeah. so do you. And I mean, it's Usama is like probably known as the most consistently crusher comic in New York.
Thank you, man. Oh, my God.
And it's, yeah, I mean, he saved a lot of my shows. Really well. I'm like, I'm texting him. I'm like, are you going to be here soon? 3 minutes. Okay. Can you get here in one?
Yeah.
Because they have pitchforks and torches in the club right now. And he comes into some of the most fucked up situations. Room. And I'm like, what the? You know, I mean, most of the time the shows are good, but I've seen like some shows are hard. And he comes in, and I'm sure you get that in other clubs where.
Thank you, man. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. I'm always trying to make it happen. And again, you do like
the no idea one ever like, said. No other comic ever says, why does he get so many spots about you? That's never been. I've never heard any comic ever say that. Like, they watch you. They go, yeah, yeah. All right, all right.
I would imagine a lot of people don't like following you. I think I once maybe had to follow.
He's not
you
an easy follower.
Eric show. also because if you do really well, then like if I go on, like I'm not like that at all, and they're just gonna be mad that I'm not that you. Not you.
You know what's crazy is like it's like first of all, you can always reset it. I think no matter what, you can reset it. I think the key for low energy guys after a high energy person is like always reset. Don't try to go on that fucking length.
Yeah,
it's like. It'll sound terrible, and it'll be the nervous energy as opposed to the energy. I do think it doesn't work. It's the same way also, though. If, like, someone really kills, let's say Rob Hayes goes up and just annihilates, he's super, like, low energy more. I can't come in with, like, hey, they're like, well, bro.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways, I think, in terms of, like, energy. And I've seen, like, the other Nick Callis, funny-ass fuck dude, but if he goes too act out too quick after a really good like low energy comic, people will be like, you are going too far. This is way too much. So I think it's like a presence thing. Really figure out what the crowd needs at that moment and try to fucking go.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the main thing to remember is just completely to go like not try and be what you aren't, and also to go at your own pace, even if they're not going. Just kind of don't get rattled because they can just feel you getting rattled if you're not going.
Following, I think the hardest fall I've ever had, obviously, was Godfrey, like just destroyed, annihilated beyond, right? And I was like, I go up, right? And I like do a riff on one of his jokes that gets a big laugh. And I'm like, oh, I fucking successfully got in. I Ocean 11'd my way in to his bit. Now I'm about to kill. And then I started doing my jokes and I started eating it. And I was like, oh, no, they were still laughing at him. Me doing his joke was them laughing at him again. And then I started bumming.
That's why whenever I do comedy, I do Godfrey's jokes.
Yeah. I just follow Godfrey. I go on and go, I say ditto, and then I just walk off stage.
Right.
Motherfucker crazy for that one.
That's why I don't like if someone, I don't like following people who've, I like if someone does okay, but like if they destroy. And
yeah, but you know what? I flipped on that because I used to be like, I don't want to follow the crushers, but I'm like, look, it's on me. They're doing great. You know,
right.
My thing is now is like, you just have to go on and say, I'm probably not going to do as well as this person. Don't put that pressure on.
If I want to put back on Eric, actually, Eric, we talk about this all the time in the green room, is that Eric will like annihilate a room and come in the green room and be like, what was that? I don't know, dude. I don't know what happened out there. I'm like, dude, you literally smashed it. And you're like, dude, I'm sorry about
no, that. I hate 95% of all my sets. So
you never like on your sets, no matter how hard you kill. I'm like,
well,
me and Vanessa are like shell shock from the decibel level of the last, and he's like, man, I should quit, dude. I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah.
That's Eric's thing.
Because I really hate, I realize I hate all the audiences, every single one of them. So I gotta, I want to Drew Michael this thing and just start doing it with no crowds.
You're like, sweet Drew Michael, but Drew Michael's actually like in that. He's actually comes out, he's like that guy, but you're a sweet guy. But Drew, I've met Drew Michael's, man. I love that guy. It's so funny, but every time I talk to him, I got to take a shower afterwards, man.
I'm doing a thing where
that's fucking intense, man. Jesus.
I hate, you know, audiences. I'm doing this thing where I just don't show up to do the set.
I do this thing where I quit. And,
that's my next special. It's just an empty stage and the crowd's confused.
You know that same thing people do like in small towns? They're like, one state in 85. And it's like, you won that last game. So that's what you've done. Where mm-hmm. you just have a one kill at the very end and you're like, now I can ride off into the sunset.
Oh yeah, you know, totally. So you act a lot, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, it seems like from what I, so when you got into, like when you got into comedy, was that something that you were interested, were you interested in acting, or is it something that just kind of like,
it just kind I always of led into acting, that? Man. Yeah, I always loved it, man. It was like I tried to be in like acting when I was a kid, but I wasn't like necessarily good at it or anything. I never really like learned it. Then I, you know, you're doing comedy. I'm just like looking at like, what do I have the most fun? It's always in characters. It's always doing some goofy thing or dialogue or something. I was like, yeah, I guess naturally I'm an actor. I got a manager and they gave me some auditions and they were so bad that they were like, we're not going to give you any more auditions until you take a class. Cause this is trash. You're trash. So then I started doing Meisner with Joanna Bexson in Manhattan.
Oh, class. She's the one. Nice. She gets us all the comics. Yeah.
Dude, she got Ray Romano. She did fucking Bobby
Gaffigan, I think.
Sopranos. Gaffigan, and she talked about it all the time. Love her. I think she's done now doing it, but she was the reason I learned how to act. I was there for like 2-3 years, and then I started getting some actual like roles, and I struck lightning a couple times, and got.
What was the first acting thing you got? Was it the Inventing Anna, or was it?
No, it was Awkwafina. I was a CEO character.
Oh,
who was, like, tucking a shirt, like the fake cool CEO. It was like.
Nora from Queens.
Yes.
That's a good show.
Tom, I challenge you to do one credit without a question mark. Challenge one. Nora from Queens.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if you picked up, but that's kind of my cadence as I sort of
he talks in questions.
Well,
I told him the story like. Tom always sounds snarky.
So you
right?
are funny?
Yeah.
Tom always sounds sarcastic. So it was one time after a show and this comic came off stage and he did really well. I go, hey, great job. And Tom was sitting right there. He goes, yeah, great job. And the guy was like, looked at him and walked away. He goes, what? I go, you sounded like you didn't mean that. He's like, well, I don't know. It's how I talk.
I know. It is weird. I my girlfriend, I have that with her where I'll say things and like, and she'll just be like, what? Like, really? Like, do you really
like,
mean that?
I love you.
Kind of. I don't know what I obviously do have a weird cadence, but also I do think I just feel like I don't want to commit to saying something. I think that's what it is. Like, in
it's
the
like,
middle.
Bro, you're at the altar, Tom. It's time to get married, man. Definitely time to commit, bro. Hilarious.
I do. 2 years later, I'd be like, we're married. Like, you know, you didn't realize I was being sarcastic at the altar.
Well, I don't want to keep too long because I said we weren't going to keep you too long. So we can wrap it up if you need.
No, I'll good, man.
Okay. Well, we'll do a few more minutes.
You started in Dallas doing comedy. So did I the first time I did stand-up comedy was actually when I was at SMU in Dallas. I took a class,
really?
Acting
class. What did you do, Your Highness?
No, I did. I mean, this was, I don't even know if this was, it's still even there. There was like a pizza place that they had. I think it was called like Checkers or something. I don't know. It was like,
whoa.
And then the back room, they had
an
open mic. It was like 93 was the first time I did
it. Oh, God.
It was fucking wild.
And I did it. The first time I did it was in class, in acting class. And that was like, the teacher was like, I did really well. And he was like, oh, you should do like, stay, you should really do it. And then he told me about this open mic and I went to it. And I don't know what you're, I mean, I was terrified. I fucking hated it. And what was, I don't think there was much of a scene at the time, but when you started, what was the scene like? Was there a lot of places to get up?
Yeah, I do. There was not much, bro. Dallas was not that big of a scene. You could maybe get up 3 times a week if you drove an hour a day somewhere, you know, Fort Worth, then you do one set. Now you can do like multiple a night. I think every city now has like multiple open mics. It's like the way to get info out is so much better. Like, you know, Instagram and all this shit is godsend for us, to be honest. when I went up, it was like a Hyenas Comedy Club. It was August 22nd, 2000. I'm that old guy now, looking for years.
You remember? You remember the exact date or the first time?
Yeah, yeah. Because it was such a seminal thing. I was crying on the way there. I was like, I had only like Bin Laden puns. That's all I knew to do humoristically.
Do you remember one of your first jokes?
Yeah, that was the Usama Bin Laden was like my first joke I ever wrote. It was the stage name Usama Bin Laden.
Did you do that on September 12th?
during the two towers falling, I was like, this is really
right
funny.
In between the first and second tower.
Yeah.
Well, you had a joke
Louis
about joke, your name.
Best joke of all time,
I know.
Oh, that's Louis'
best joke. Of all time.
Like, you had a joke about your name, though.
Yes. No.
It was funny.
Yes. But I worked on that. Louis' joke was like, I think you know how bad a person you are by how quickly after 9/11 you masturbated. And for me, it was between the two towers falling. That's his joke. Which is, the best. Yeah,
and I think he literally told that like October of 2001.
Dude, he was, look at Shameless. He's saying the N-word 18 times. I mean, it is, bro, he was in there, man. He was in there. But yeah, Dallas was like a scene. They had like some really funny comics there.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Wait, what some of you just said, so you said you were crying on the way to do it.
I was so scared, bro. I was terrified. I my friend had done it. I just finished the MCAT, which is the undergrad exam for medical school.
Oh, wow, you're
and
close.
So I had a year to think. I was like, I did this thing for my mom. Let me just think what I want to do now. I have time now for a year and a half to like figure out what I want to do. And I said this to my friend Nimesh, not Nimesh Patel, different guy, Nimesh, who and I was like, I want to do comedy. It was almost a whisper in his ear. I was terrified to even say it. It's that concept of that I want to do comedy. And then he's like, I already do it, dude. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I go to Hyenas on Wednesdays. I'm like, what the? It, which to me was such an unattainable thing. And then it just, that glass wall just crashed. And I was like, okay, let me write some jokes. And I chickened out the first week. And then next week I went. I was like crying. I was so scared. Waited 4 hours. Like, this was the main mic in the city. So like 50 comics went up. And then I went up at 12:30. And I went up and I got some laughs and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. Then I bombed for 8 months straight. But that first show was so awesome that I was like, I'm going to keep doing this. Yeah. And I would do the thing. I would drive everywhere. I would drive. My friend Paulos, who still does comedy in Dallas, we drive hours, bro, every direction to do a mic. You know, we'd get like four a week, maybe, you know.
Wait, but that's the thing. But I think with you, you loved doing so many spots. I always feel like that you'll never leave New York in a way, because I think you need that. But maybe
I love doing comedy. I like running around and doing comedy. My favorite thing on earth is just run around and do comedy. I don't even like headlining, bro. I do headlining weekends now. I hate staying in one place. Like that second show on a Saturday, I'm like, fuck, I just want to be moving around. But obviously it's like the natural progression. You got to headline, you got to
that's what pays the bills.
Pays the bills, and I love meeting the fans, and all this shit's great. But I'll be honest, between Friday and Saturday, that second show, between the first show and the second show on Saturday, I'm like, beat. Third show just finished. I'm like, fuck this. I'd rather be running around. But I comedy is like this amazing thing. It's my favorite thing on earth. You know, I love doing it.
It is, really? Oh, okay. Good. And so, and how long have you been doing it now?
11 years now, man.
Oh, fuck. Wow.
Oh my God, dude! Yeah. Jesus,
that's great.
What kind of doctor? Fun. What kind of doctor did you want? Did your parents want you to be?
Fucking pediatrics was big for them. They also wanted to be like a not only the doctor would have been not enough. It was just like a physician. They'd be like, okay, you're the fucking retard of doctors. That's right, you know.
No primary care.
Do you know?
No
primary care. You know what's funny is like, do you? There must be so many people out there who are like doctors or some other profession who did have, you know, an inkling of what you're talking about, who didn't do it. And so, what do you think that's like? Do they must just have it deep down, kind of that idea of like, well, I was interested in that, but I didn't do it. Did you ever think of like maybe you would, that would be your life? Is that maybe what kind of like
it's a weird
motivated
thing,
you?
Those people come to my shows all the time. You know, like a lot of brown people come to shows, and a lot of these are like people with dreams who got like you know South Asian into doing the a profession, doctor, engineer. My best friend was we're both in the med school track. I loved the comedy. He loved auto work. He was like a genius with the cars. He could pick up on a car and put it back together. he had an auto shop in high school that he loved, and in college. Then his mom was like, no, you're not doing this. You're doing med school. My mom was like, no, you're not doing this. You're doing med school. I said, fuck off. And I just went to do comedy. My friend even was like, don't do comedy, bro. He was so scared of doing his own thing that he was trying to bring my shit down and be like, don't do comedy, bro. You're not even good. All this shit. It's my best friend. And he didn't do auto. He went into med school. He did all that. He has a kid now, a wife who he loves. But I've never seen a more stressed guy in my life. You know what I'm saying? This guy, it's almost like a weird, like, control group where I did one thing and then my friend did this.
It's very like sliding doors. Like
sliding door.
100%. But what I think people don't realize that is like, they're probably, I bet you there's like some doctors out there who like are the funniest fucking people on earth.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Just like, and now, it's.
And what? Now it's my friend. He's like looking up carburetors. Like it's Pornhub. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah. Passion with his wife sleeping. And I'm just like, dude, you should have just done the fucking auto shit. You had a great life. You had a great life of just auto work and things you were amazing.
I mean, I do think it's kind of fascinating because I do feel like most people have that. They have something deep inside that it's kind of like very Field of Dreams where there is an inner voice, but
yeah,
it's so faint and most people don't listen to it, but 100%. It is kind of odd. Like with you, you were on such a track to go to a certain, you know, goal, but like you literally had to like sit back and be like, okay, I'm going to follow this voice a way.
And there's funny guys in every profession. I was a comedian, I forgot who it was, where he kind of quit comedy and he's like, I'm gonna go back into IT. And he's like, well, he goes, at least I'll be the funniest IT guy. And then he was like, but maybe I won't be. That's even worse.
Yeah.
I'll be the funniest. Like there might be five more funnier guys than me. That's gonna even suck even more.
You know, he just took the energy and now he's like trying to beat the water cooler. And every morning it's like a different mic. This is a different mic. That's all it is.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God.
I'll be honest,
comics, we kind of break our funny bone in the fact that we have become actually funny and now we're not like we have any decor. We're like in polite society, we can't even be funny sometimes. It was just so fucking crazy now. Mm-hmm. Like the way comics riff is just, if you know, you ever see that thing where the comics riff and like one of the comics girls is there and you see her eyes getting wider and wider, like what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, because it's like a different level. It's just
we're always just trying to go crazy. And so maybe he goes to IT and now he's just so broken from how being actually funny that he can't even be funny in his corporate world.
I think that's true. I do think that there's such a thing of like almost if you're a comedian and you really delve into it and you really, you know, because once you, you know, get really in the weeds with comedy and like you get better at it, you almost become so good at it that like lay people can't, they're not on the same wavelength almost because it's kind of, they're used to just a normal, because I had that a lot when I would like meet women, because a lot of times women are like, I want a funny guy. And I like when I would do comedy, I was really funny and I would do comedy in front of them and I would be really, really funny. And they seemed less into me. And I think it was almost, I really do think it was, and I don't mean this, I think it's a lot of comedians experience this. It's like, I think they want someone who's funny, but like not someone who's like so fucking funny that they can't even understand it. And I don't know, I know this is coming off like weird, but I think comedians would understand that because like your whole life for years is just trying to find what's funny, that normal funny things aren't funny to you anymore. You know what I mean? It has to have some like new angle. So, and most people aren't ready for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like a porn star dating a normal person. But go ahead. You know what I'm
saying? No, I was saying the angle is like dead baby. That's where you have to go now to get your fix. And it's like women want funny in a way that they can feel good about themselves. Like, oh, this is a funny guy who thinks I'm cool. Not this insanely funny person now makes me feel like I'm a not funny idiot. Because what it is like they get self-conscious of their own funny level.
Yeah.
It's not, it seems unattainable. Now it becomes like this weird discrepancy of like, well, this guy's so funny. Just me talking will be annoying to him because I'm not being hilarious.
Right. It's kind of like if you like you would maybe sleep with a stripper, but you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with a stripper.
Hey, 100... fucking percent.
I remember Nate Bargatze had a funny joke. It was something like his wife, his wife never made him laugh. And she's like, your friends all make you laugh.
Yes, yes.
And I go, my friends are professional comedians. So like, you got to bring more to the table here, you know?
Right.
He says the perfect line right after. He's like, my friends are professional comedians. Pause, laugh. It's going to be a good time. I love that line.
it's going to be
a good time. Like, that's
the problem, though, too. It's hard to just hang out with regular people and have fun because you really do have to be around comedians. They have to up their game a little bit.
There was one time I was like deep in comedy and I met some old friends that I had wives now, and that means they're less fun too now. And so we're all hanging out and I'm being good. I'm riffing. I'm in there. And I had this one bit of just like just talking, whatever. I was like, I really want to fuck an auntie, like one of my mom's friends. I'm like, oh, that's one of my biggest dreams. It's like after I go do a, I'm just kind of waxing poetic. I'm doing a bit. I'm doing characters like, oh, hey, baby, you're hot. And I look around and it's horrified people. Like, how dare you ruin someone's marriage? You're going to ruin their marriage. I'm like, obviously not. It's a proverbial auntie that I'm fucking. And I was like,
that's true. I've had that too. I've made that mistake at dinner with relatives. I think the one I did recently was I was with my sister and her husband. I made the joke saying that having kids is you're basically slaves to the kids. You turn yourselves into slaves. And I had been saying this to my girlfriend for a while. We thought it was funny. They did not. They had kids and they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, no, I'm not saying you really are, but I mean, you know, but you nail it though.
It's too real for them. I mean,
it was, bro.
So, all right, Usama, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for coming on. This was great to talk to you.
Yeah. You have anything to promote? You have he has a great podcast. It's very popular.
Thank you, man. Mango Bay at Your Mango Bay, YourManGoBae. Follow me at Usama Stands Up, USAMA Stands Up. Share.
So check him out on that.
He plays all clubs in New York City. He plays if there's a show in New York City, he's on the show. He's ubiquitous. He does between 18 and 19 sets a night.
I just saw you on Survival of the Thickest. Nice.
Thanks, Tom. I feel it. I feel the love there. Thank you, man.
No, I think it's really cool. I do. I know that.
Yeah,
sounds
like, I really love you, man.
I think that's really great. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
Dude, all great.
All right. Talk soon.
We'll see you next time. Okay. Bye bye.
All right. Bye.